Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 15, and my neighbor upstairs is running his water. We have a very loud, it's an old building. I tested it before I started, and I don't think you can hear it, but if you can, it's probably background noise. It's like a Greek chorus in the background. I'll be talking about him in a minute again. I've been talking about him lately. It's beautiful Los Angeles. We're back, and we have 17 minutes of winter, and then it's like summer again, and it was like cold like last week for a couple days, really cold. Like at night, it was in the early 40s, late 30s, which is cold for here, and but now it's like in the 80s. And it's great, and I love it. I love endless summer. I love the summer. I don't like the winter. I don't even have clothes for the winter anymore. But the thing about this type of weather is it kind of brings on allergies out here. I never had allergies growing up in the East Coast. And I come out here, and I got me some allergies. And I've been here a long time, so I don't know. Maybe I would have had them if I would have stayed back there. But I've never been tested, really. I know I'm allergic to cats. I don't have to be tested. I just have to look at a cat. And I just have to see a cat. I just have to know somebody named Cats. Sorry, bad joke. But I know I'm definitely allergic to cats. And I don't know. I'm probably, there's something blooming. We have a lot of blooming things. There was some rain. And there's always something blooming around here. And one of my neighbors that used to live in this building was actually, she got tested, and she was allergic to the tree right outside my window, which consequently, she could never spend the night with me. That's another bad joke. Actually, she was married. But no, she never considered spending the night with me, but she did find out that tree, she was allergic to that tree, and that poor tree, it's just a tree. It's just standing there being a tree. It's just like, I'm a tree. I want to be loved. And why are they allergic to me? Because I was reading that allergies could be psychological. They could be psychological or emotional or spiritual or whatever. They don't necessarily have to be entirely physical. I don't know what I'm talking about. I just know that I woke up today and my right eye was really itching. It's now feeling better. After a couple of cups of coffee, I think the caffeine came in and punched that allergy right out of me. So, news of the building. Today we've got, they're finally fixing the gate, allegedly. They got this, if you recall, if you've been following my podcast, the security gate has been broken for 2 months or so. I emailed the owner a couple weeks ago, and he emailed me back that he'd been here throughout the week a couple times, and it was fine. And it was just like, dude, do you think I really want to spend my time emailing you and even talking to you about this stuff? I mean, but then they finally realize that the gate is not working when, there's no mail being delivered because the postal workers can't get in and the food delivery people can't get in if you order to-go food or, delivery food. So today they got a guy walking around with a big yellow tool belt and I don't know, he looks like one of these, he just has that look up at him. And maybe he's very good, but I don't, since they've already tried to fix this a couple times, I just get the feeling they go into the yellow pages and look at the, what is the most incompetent place I can, they probably call the place called Incompetent Door Repair. Cheap, it's so cheap, we'll pay you. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it works. I really don't want to have to deal with this anymore. But whatever, it's whatever. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen, as they say, as somebody says. I mentioned that guy upstairs with that weird sawing sound. It's been going on since Christmas. Again, it's kind of weird. It coincides with the door being broken. I don't know if there's some kind of weird connection there, some kind of weird thing. But actually, the last few days, I haven't heard anything. But last week, we actually came face-to-face. And I remember I said, I think it was last week or the week before, that I intended to ask him again, because I had already asked him if he was doing anything up there, and he had denied. He said he's got a new vacuum cleaner, but it's simply not a vacuum cleaner. And so I came face-to-face with him unexpectedly, and I don't think I pussed out necessarily. It's just I looked at him, I looked in his eyes, and he just looks like, you know, he just was this kind of, I don't know, I just saw this thing in his eyes that was just like, he's just a dude, I don't know. I just felt like I didn't want to create any kind of, any tension between us. And actually, we were talking about the big incident a couple weeks ago when somebody broke the glass through the door, and cut their hand or their elbow, and there was blood all over the place. And this is what he said. He said he didn't even hear it. He was sleeping, which is odd because, I mean, it was really loud. It was right outside my window. It was right above him. He's right above me. But I made a mental note. I go, this guy goes to bed at 10 p.m. because he works early. So maybe it's not him. Maybe it's his girlfriend making a noise. I don't know. Because he says he lets her in, and I hardly ever see or hear her. I only hear her occasionally. When she's moaning with delight. So I chose to not say anything, and I have chosen to grin and bear it. I've already, I kind of just wanted to know what it was, but it just seems like, why bring it up? What's the point of bringing it up? He already says he's not doing anything. Maybe he's sleeping so deep. If he can't hear that thing outside my window, then maybe he can't hear his girlfriend sawing body parts or something like that, you know, whatever. Whatever's going on. So I say, God love him. God bless him. Godspeed. And all the other God things that you would say. So that's that. You know, I feel like I've resolved that to some degree. Until I move to a better place that's just the way it is. He's a nice guy to me, and I'm a nice guy to him, and that's that. So we're going to keep it at that. You see, if the whole world could be, if the Jews and Arabs could run like this, oh my God! I'm recording, and I'm on my MacBook, and the airport software update right in the middle of my podcast. Will you guys get out of here? I don't want to just stop it. I'm trying to do my podcast here, so I don't need that. Remind these things that pop up. I predict that eventually. There's going to be a new anxiety disorder. I've named it. It's, what's it called? Internet Ad Anxiety Disorder, IAAD. Because it just happened to me now with this thing. It was like an airport. Airport, can you update? But it's like I'll be reading something on the internet, and then all of a sudden something pops up, and it really, I can feel this jolt inside me, and it's just like, I can't be the only one, you know? Or you're trying, you know, and it just, sometimes something will just creep in and just take over the whole page that you're reading. It's just like, you know, come on, isn't there enough advertising? So I predict, and if it's not already being treated, IAAD, Internet Ad Anxiety Disorder, that will come up at some point, I predict. I will be known as a seer, as a prophet. As this comes up, to say Al Berman was the first one to actually recognize that. No, I really think it's going to happen, you know, because it just freaks me out, and you know, not freaks me out, but it does something. It's just like, oh, you know, I'm like right now I'm doing my podcast, I'm recording this thing, and then they you know, airport, oh, he's recording. Let's let him know we can update now. Let's shut, you know, leave me alone. Okay. Anyway. One other thing I was that's happening around the building that happened to me, actually happened like a week or so ago. And there's a lot of dogs in this neighborhood, and I live in a no pets building, but supposedly, but the owners kind of moved that around. There's a girl that just moved in. She's got a dog, you know, they just decide at any given moment, you know, no, it's a smoking building. Now it's a non-smoking building. It's a pet building. Now it's an odd pet, but you know they don't go about anything legally. So I don't think they, if anybody want to fight them anything and got an attorney, I don't think they would. I think they would lose, or maybe not. I don't know. But because, you know, attorneys, we tried to fight this thing with they put a new roof on, which was just to the roof was dripping rain into people's apartments, and so that was supposed to be like a repair, and they called it a capital improvement, which is something to beautify the building, and the city approved it, and we've tried to fight it, and the city ruled in their favor. So it's like, whatever, you know. Yeah, and the roof is so much more beautiful, by the way. But so anyway, the point is we have a lot of dogs in this neighborhood, which creates a lot of doggy doo-doo. And, you know, there's people picking up their doggy doo-doo. Doggy doo-doo. And all the time. But there are some people, I guess, that don't. Or they miss it, or whatever. And I've been fortunate. I haven't stepped in too much doggy doo. But last week or so, you know, I was walking, and it was dark out, and, you know, I usually check my sneakers, but I didn't see that on the side of my right sneaker was a nice glob of doggy doo. And I walked in my little studio apartment here in North Hollywood, California, and I traipsed onto my, you know, generic-looking carpet that they put in here, and I looked down to take my sneakers off, and I said, oh, crap. That's right. Oh, crap. I didn't say oh, crap, but I try not to say anything stronger because there may be kids listening. But oh, crap, there's some crap. And I looked, and I was lucky that I only traipsed some in, and like when I first, somehow I miraculously only traipsed it in the beginning when I first came in, and then I walked this whole section without getting any of that down on the carpet. You know, maybe I should declare that like a miracle, and we can have that as a Jewish holiday. He had doggy doo, and there was only a little doggy doo. So now we have 12 days of we lighting candles to commemorate the doggy doo-ness that didn't only happen, the little amount of doggy doo-ness that was in his, you know, anyway. So my first thought was, all right, I got to get the doggy doo off my sneaker. And, you know, it's not easy because it gets into the wedges. Because it was on the side, but it was also got a little bit on the bottom. So I got as much off as I could initially. And then I went to where the carpet was. And I have my friend Brenda. I don't have my friend Brenda. I have a friend Brenda who owns a floor covering business. And she told me years ago that to get doggy doo off of your carpet, use club soda. And, you know, you pour some on and it actually takes the stain out. And so I looked at my refrigerator thinking I may have some club soda, and I had a little bit left. And so I poured it on, and it actually did the trick, you know. And I immediately, the next night, I made a note. I said, I've got to keep a bottle of club soda in my refrigerator at all times. Not so much to drink, but just in case I get some more of this dog crap, I will have something to take it off my carpet, you know. So, and I'm fascinated by, how do people, when people discover these discoveries, how does somebody discover, I would never think of anything like that. Like, club soda, dog, did somebody step in some dog crap, and they were drinking club soda, and it accidentally spilled on their shoes, and that's how it happened? I don't really know. I'm fascinated by how these things come up. You know, if I was one of the early, you know, people on planet Earth, we'd still be in the caves because I don't, you know, I might, you know, be able to make you laugh, you know, after a day of hunting, but I ain't going out hunting and I ain't discovering anything because I don't have that kind of a mind. All right, so enough about this building, enough about that. I went to, we had a Whole Foods in my neighborhood, the closest Whole Foods. And it's actually the most cluttered Whole Foods that I've ever been to. I mean, if they, you know, so into like this, you know, whole, you know, it's whole foodie stuff. And it's like, if they're into feng shui, this place is just not feng shuied. It's just like, just they just bought the wrong place, you know. But you know, it's still convenient, and I go there. And the point I'm trying to make is that I just think we're getting too obsessive. Not we. I mean, not me. I mean, I'm not accusing you. I'm very obsessive anyway, and I can be that way when it comes to food. But, you know, I go in there and I see these live pumpkin bars. I made a joke with a guy. You know, I prefer my pumpkins dead, you know. And it's, you know, this whole thing about live food. Yeah, I know live food is supposed to be better for you. But then I was reading yesterday that raw food is kind of blown out of proportion. You know, there's always these things that come up. They discover that all of a sudden they'll be popular. Like, hey, eat this. And then they find out, oh, no, don't eat that, you know. And so now raw foods, you know, people are supposed to be so better for you than cooking. But I was reading another opinion that there, you know, cooking is actually good because it does something to the thing besides the flavor. And, so I guess a certain amount of raw foods. But then the other thing that I saw, they had these chickens, these like, you know, these kind of chickens, ready to eat chickens. And they had a sign, you know, organic, chickens from, you know, like from 207 miles away, you know, this whole thing about eating more locally, which I guess it is healthier. I don't know. I don't understand any of this stuff. But yeah, you know, I could see somebody going 207 miles is simply not, it's not close enough. I need something no farther than Encino. And I will be comfortable. I need a chicken that lives in Encino and only where maybe works in downtown. I mean, it's just, I keep saying I mean, but it just strikes me as way too obsessive. Like, oh, okay, this is what I was thinking. I just read this book recently about Steve Jobs, and Steve Jobs was really obsessive, vegan, you know, was on these crazy things where he would eat only apples, like since he was a teenager, you know, ate only apples for 2 weeks or carrots or whatever, and you know, supposedly ate a lot of healthy stuff, but then, you know, in the end, although he was a genius and came up with all this great product, you know, he died from this horrible disease that you would think, perhaps, you know, with all this organic food, he used to, like, you know, admonish people, like, oh, hey, you're going to eat butter? That's going to really mess with your cholesterol. It's like, well, all right, Steve, but, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, that diet didn't really keep you from getting something really bad. So I just think there's something, it's just more than just eating well. And it might be vibrational. I think I might have brought this up before. It might be like what the Abraham Hicks people talk about. It's some kind of vibrational thing, how we vibrate. Or it just might be, or it might be random. It might just be random. It just might be the luck of the draw. I don't know. Again, I am not that smart. I am just a guy in a studio apartment, a comedian, trying to be funny, all by myself, you know. So, you know, that's that. You know, I mentioned how much I love my iPhone, and I still do love this iPhone. But I do have a bone to pick. Speaking of Steve Jobs, how's that for a segue? I do have a bone of contention here with the iPhone. Is that when I'm texting? Now they have the voice text, which is great. And you have to speak, you know, enunciate clearly and speak clearly so it gets it right, which is fine. But when I go to text, you know, regular texting, like with the fingers, it'll correct spelling. It'll correct words when I don't want it to correct. Like I was kind of, you know, my friend Wesley and I were doing, he sometimes says K instead of a K, right? K, letter K. And I've talked about that before. And so I tried to make a little joke with him, like to write back KKK. And I wrote KKK and didn't even look because I saw KKK and then hit send and the word kill came up. And I go, and it also happened with somebody else. I said true dat, true D-A-T, and it came up true day. Then it came up true fat. And it's just like, you know, iPhone, you're smart, but don't try to interpret what I'm saying. Okay? Let me text. Let me have the freedom to text whatever I want. Let me have the freedom to make my own mistakes. Old iPhone, Siri, whatever it is. Okay, and last but not least on this week's episode 15, I want to talk about Filipinos. I never knew any Filipinos when I grew up in New Jersey. I never knew Filipinos until I came to California, and then I met like lots of Filipinos. I had a I lived in a building in East Hollywood was you know almost all Filipinos. I had a girlfriend for a while that was Filipina, and which I may tell that story another time. But I was talking to this security guard at this supermarket I go to, and he's an older man. He's almost, I guess he's 60, and he's a Filipino. And I've talked to him and other older Filipinos. There's another guy that works there as a bagger, and he used to be a sergeant. Okay, the bagger used to be a sergeant in the police force in the Philippines. And, you know, they love the Philippines. I mean, they love it, and they're going to go back. They're going to retire. You know, and I tell them, I want to go, and I want to visit the Philippines, but I want to go with somebody like that. I want to go back with one of these guys maybe because they can, you know, they know the place. They can speak the language. And they're very nice people, very sweet people. But and I asked this security guard, like, why if it's so great there, why do you come here? And he goes, because I don't do the greatest Filipino accent, but I'll do my best. He goes, why do you come here? And he goes, because to make the money here. I said, oh, so you're gonna make money here, and then you're gonna go back there. He goes, oh yes, you make money here, and then you go back and you live like a king. You have cooks, maids, chauffeurs. I go, really? I mean, this guy can't be making more than like $10 an hour at this job. I mean, first of all, how do you save in a city like Los Angeles? How do you save money living like that? I guess he'll get his Social Security here or something like that, you know, plus whatever pension he's got from back there. I don't know, you know, but it's just like live like a king. I mean, this other guy was like a sergeant. What was he making? What did they pay the sergeants in Philippines, like $3 an hour? I don't know. It seems sad. I don't know. It seems sad that people have to leave a place like that they love to go to work at some job that they're probably way overqualified for to make, you know, a little bit amount of money. And then they go back and live like kings. And what about the cooks and the maids and those kind of people? Oh, my God. What are these people making? You know, are they indentured servants? I hope not. Jeez. Because there is a lot of that stuff going on. I hope that's not what it is. I hope, I really do. I hope, I don't think so. Not these people. These people are so sweet. They would never do that. Anyway, I think I'm about at the end of this particular podcast. And this was episode 15. Again, thanks everybody. I've been getting great feedback. About to start promoting this more. Getting a marketing plan together with Wesley, my friend Wesley, and so to try to get this the word out there on what I'm doing, and that's that. So again, thanks everybody for listening, and until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. Mm-hmm.